And welcome to Coffee House Shots, the Spectator's political podcast. I'm Lara Prendergast, and I'm today joined by Fraser Nelson and James Forsyth. So Fraser, May has been trying to shore up Labour support. How's it going?
Well, we're not quite sure yet. We're told that she's in talks with Lynn McCluskey, not something you'd expect to hear every day of the political week. The first time they've spoken, Lynn McCluskey, of course, is one of Jeremy Corbyn's most powerful union backers. What we're seeing now is two things. Firstly, we're seeing Theresa May emboldened by the fact that her party can't sack her anymore. After the failed leadership putsch, she is now invincible from leadership challenges for about a year. So she can go to the left if she wants. It says the second thing that she's doing. She's saying to her party, well, sure, you Tories might not back my deal, but maybe Labour MPs will. So I'm going to start talking to Labour to see what they would like, what sweeteners I can give them, and then see how many Labour rebels I can peel off. Now, the question is, where is this going? What's the objective here? She hasn't said what her strategy is, but I've been speaking to a few ministers who've got a fair idea. Her policy, in effect, is what you might call red Brexit, that she is going to make more and more concessions to the Labour Party, and when the Tories back her deal, she'll stop. Now, one minister told me that, sure, she will lose the vote on Tuesday next week, but she could have another and another and another, each time offering more concessions to Labour. And the only way of making her stop this would be for the Tories to back her. Now, will this work? The problem is the numbers. The BBC tried some figures yesterday and came out with an extraordinary 228 votes that Theresa May is going to lose by. Now, I reckon there are about 20 max Labour rebels that John Mann and others might be able to deliver. So for her strategy to work, you'd either need to win around Corbyn himself, or you would need Corbyn to abstain on the major vote. Either way, I can't see this working. And the big gamble, of course, is how will Tory MPs take this? Are they going to pick up today's papers and think, oh dear, Theresa May is talking to Lynn McCluskey. In that case, we better back her deal before she properly gets into bed with them. Or are they going to think, this underlines all the reasons why we wanted her gone, so let's just not vote for her deal and hope that her premiership comes to a swift end? As James will tell you, there's a lot of high passions running around right now.
I think the question is this. The view in number 10 is if they can't get the votes on the Tory benches, they're going to have to go and find the votes somewhere else. And that leads you to a softer Brexit. Now, I think the problem here is twofold. One is, I think Corbyn has less control over the parliamentary Labour Party than a traditional Labour leader. There are more Labour MPs who think their careers are coming to an end anyway.
And most Labour MPs have already signed a motion of no confidence in Corbyn. So this, we were quite unprecedented in the terms of the hold which the leader has over the party.
Yeah. So I think there might be more options for the government on the backbenches. The other point is this, is if you add a permanent customs union onto Theresa May's deal, you have basically met the test that Jeremy Corbyn set for Labour support for a Brexit deal in his party conference speech. And I think one of the big dangers is this, that you saw from Corbyn's speech yesterday. Corbyn doesn't want to have a second referendum, right? He has had so many opportunities to sound enthusiastic about it. Has he ever sounded enthusiastic about it? He consistently talks about how he doesn't want to divide the country further. I don't think it is that far-fetched to imagine a scenario where the clock ticks down a bit further, we get closer and closer to March 29th, Corbyn gets the permanent customs union added in, and then he says, well, we're going to abstain in the national interest, you know, because we've run out of time and the country can't have a no deal exit, and we've got these protections on workers' rights with dynamic alignment with the EU, dynamic alignment with the EU on environmental regulations, we've got a customs union, and so it's all heading this way. And then their calculation will be that at that point the DUP stops supporting the government because the backstop is going to become a legal reality, and you get the general election that he craves. He is a politician. I think Casey's column about this in the New Year issue is completely right. He is a politician who wants Brexit done. He wants to be able to get on with his own agenda, right?
And the EU gets in the way of all those radical things
and
he's going
on. So I think in this era when all sorts of unexpected things are happening, I don't think the prospect of Corbyn saying, all right, we'll sit on our hands, is totally out of the bounds of possibility. And I think that if you look at the parliamentary arithmetic, if this deal does not pass, what you are going to end up with is either a softer deal or a second referendum. I think this is...
Or a no-deal Brexit.
I think that ultimately Parliament is prepared to stop no-deal.
How would it stop it?
I think it would no confidence the government to stop no-deal.
And that would mean, putting in Corbyn?
If you do the numbers, you need between eight and a dozen Tory MPs
who would be ready. So we're talking Tory MPs who will not just no confidence prime minister, but will be ready to put in Jeremy Corbyn without a general election.
I think what they will do is they will say that their first choice isn't to put in Jeremy Corbyn. Their first choice is to put in some, you know, government of national unity. But I think that people are sufficiently down the rabbit hole, right? This debate has an effect on people where clear thinking and rationality disappears somewhere out of that window.
James, that would be hugely damaging for the Tories if they're seen as...
Yes, of course it would be.
I guess the thing is, right, James, you're quite right to say that there's nothing so crazy in politics that couldn't absolutely happen. So but I'm not going to sit here and say eight Tories are going to put in Jeremy Corbyn as Prime Minister, but it does sound quite a stretch.
If you look at what people are saying, right, are you confident that Heidi Allen, Anna Soubry, Sarah Wollaston aren't going to do that? You know, even Nick Bowles has said explicitly that he would no confidence the government if that was what it took to stop No Deal.
He wrote back in a Facebook post.
But you see, I think trust what people say rather than the clarifications they issue after they get an angry call from their association chairman. I think that you go on down this route. I think this is where people have got to. I think Parliament's ultimate sanction is to remove the government, and if that is what it took to stop No Deal, that's what they do. I also think this is the other problem with No Deal. I don't think Theresa May would do No Deal. Nick Timothy, who worked with Theresa May for years, you know, this is as close as you can get, and hope is not the father of the thought here, given that Nick is a Brexiteer. He thinks that she would never do No Deal. I don't think she wants to do No Deal.
That's what he said, wasn't it?
Yeah,
never
willingly. And so therefore,
obviously she wouldn't willingly do it, but if it were to happen, it'll probably be the end of her, it'll be the failure of her deal. But you wouldn't need somebody to willingly do it because Parliament voted for it to happen anyway.
I mean, your point is right, the Parliament's voted for that. But I think Parliament also feels, a lot of MPs feel, there's kind of guilt about this. And that also partly explains why they would be prepared to behave in such an extreme manner.
And this takes us back to Theresa May's dichotomy, because she is saying to her party, and as James is saying, look, don't think No Deal is going to happen. Parliament will find a way of doing it. I know a lot of MPs, and I sympathise with them, stretch to think that eight Tories will put in Corbyn to stop No Deal or something like that. But, you know, if it's her deal or no Brexit, then she can see how her deal is going to get worse and worse and worse for the Tory party until Tory MPs back it. Though I don't know, James, what you think of this idea of her making it a little bit red, having a vote on Tuesday, then making it more red and another vote. In other words, having two or three votes each time becoming a softer Brexit, a redder Brexit.
I don't think she's got that many opportunities to bring the thing back, frankly. I think that, you know, if she loses the vote, then I think that you will see a big shift to soften it, to try and get some kind of parliamentary consensus. The other way to think about this is Theresa May is a survivor, right? When the ERG tried and failed to unseat her before Christmas, they gave her a 12-month stay where she cannot be challenged as leader of a Conservative Party. So she can now only be challenged as Prime Minister in a no-confidence vote on the floor of the House of Commons. I think that means, because she wants to stay in Downing Street, that she will tack to where Parliament is, because that deals with the immediate threat to her job. All of that suggests that if this deal goes down, that she will be moving in a softer Brexit direction rather than towards no deal.
James, are the MPs that you're talking about who are, you know, perhaps willing to bring down the government, are they making the calculation that they'd rather see Brexit not happen and Corbyn be in power than Brexit happen, perhaps the No Deal, and then Corbyn be in power?
I think they take the view that No Deal is the worst possible outcome, and that No Deal would be followed by a Corbyn government, because it would be a kind of Black Wednesday on steroids moment for the Tories. So putting No Deal ultimately either limits the damage a Corbyn government can do or creates a situation in which there'd be a general election in which the Tories could somehow defeat him. So this is the point, is that these people have decided to convince themselves of a course of action, and they are moving down that road at speed. And you look at the fact that, you know, 17 Tory MPs voted for the Grieve amendment, and, you know, I think that gives you a sign of where things are heading.
Do you see Downing Street making this point, James?
I think Downing Street are making this point partly because they would like people to think, oh, okay, I'm going to vote for this deal because this is as good as it gets.
In other words, saying it's quite possible that there are going to be eight Tories who would vote for Corbyn.
Oh, sorry, I don't mean Downing Street will admit that would happen.
I mean, right now they'll be talking a lot to the Tory rebels to try to win them over. The whips should be trying to win them over.
I think if you
and they'll be saying, sure, one thing.
I can talk of two Tory MPs I spoke to yesterday. On the usual terms, and I said to them, would you be prepared to no confidence the government and risk a Corbyn government? Mm-hmm. And they both said yes. what this is again worth noting, they both make the argument that this 2-week window means that you might not have to have a Corbyn government. You could have a nice, cuddly Hillary Benn, Nicky Morgan government.
Sort of Remainers.
Remainer unity.
And anti-democratic coalition.
but ultimately, they are prepared to run the risk of Corbyn becoming Prime Minister without a general election if that is what it took to stop No Deal. I think that one of the things you've got to understand here is we have talked a lot about how Brexit has radicalised people. People who we didn't previously seem to care that much about the EU suddenly came to care passionately. No Deal is having that effect on the Tory benches. People who we previously would have regarded as relative moderates or pragmatists in the Brexit debate.
Like Oliver Letwin,
for example. Oliver Letwin, who has been a Eurosceptic long before it was,
What's Oliver Letwin been?
Oliver Letwin is being spoken of as one of the people who might vote down the Conservative government to put in Corbyn, which seems to be completely... Oliver Letwin has been a sort of straight down the line. He was a former special advisor to Keith Joseph, and he was Cameron's kind of fixer. And now he's one of those who's voting against the government. He's the last person you would ever expect to rebel. And he is symptomatic of what James is describing. People who are otherwise completely sort of almost nondescript conservatives becoming the radicals.
Because what is happening is the men of government in the Tory party, right? And the Tory party has always viewed itself as a natural party government. Yeah. All that. The men of government in the Tory party believe that the government is so unprepared for no deal and that no deal would be so catastrophic that the kind of men of government national interest position is to stop it, even if that requires putting Jeremy Corbyn in, who would be the most left-wing.
Do you think Jeremy Corbyn's more prepared for what might be coming?
No, it's completely irrational.
I think John McDonnell says, the higher the chaos, the more we can do. I mean,
never let a crisis go to waste.
But I really do think that ultimately, if we get to kind of, the beginning of March and it looks like no deal, I think there would be enough Tory MPs prepared to no confidence the government, even if that risked... that risk of an election. For example, I know one Tory rebel who has had a conversation with John McDonnell about this very point. And I think that you can already begin to hear John McDonnell saying, we wouldn't want to govern in this parliamentary arithmetic. Our majority would be so unstable. So we just do one thing. We just go to Brussels and ask them to extend Article 50 so we don't crash out of that deal. And then we'd hold a general election. So all you're not really making Jeremy Prime Minister because you're not enabling his agenda. You're just stopping no deal. And then we'll have a general election. And, the people can decide what wants to happen next. So you're not really doing it. You're not really, we know that you would never vote to nationalise the water industry. So we couldn't get our agenda through in this parliament. So all we're going to do is just do this one thing of extending Article 50. I genuinely think that this is where things will head.
Well, again, we can see Theresa May on a very high-stakes gamble with her party. She's done this before. As James says, she's a survivor. She's coming at this game like she's a survivor, and she's probably going to end it too.
Other crucial point to reckon is, since she lost her majority, Theresa May has been living day to day in Downing Street, keeping herself in power. And the immediate threat that stalked Downing Street was this 48 letters that she could be removed as Conservative Party leader. She now cannot be removed as Conservative Party leader for 11 months. So therefore, the immediate threat to her position comes from Parliament. And so she will deal with the immediate threat to her position. As someone in Number 10 said to me yesterday, 11 months is an age in this modern politics. She could infuriate her own party, but then maybe if her Brexit deal gets through, maybe there's a split in the Labour Party. So the Tory vote could be down a bit, but because Labour's split, they'd be ahead in the polls. And then maybe in December, some passions would have called. I think all this is for the birds. I think if she does this strategy, they will undoubtedly remove her in December. But the point is, where they see the immediate threat to her position is coming from is Parliament. And you can dress that up with, it's in the national interest to avoid no deal, I've got to get a deal through, and so therefore that's my moral justification for reaching out to Labour.
Okay. Thank you, James and Fraser. And just a reminder that we've got a very special subscription offer for listeners of this podcast.
Very stupid subscription.
Very stupid. We're actually paying you to subscribe. You can get 12 issues for just £12, as well as a £20 John Lewis voucher. To get this, just go to spectator.co.uk/voucher. Thanks for listening. I'm gonna make it. I will survive. Keep on surviving.